This is what blowback looks like. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And this is a perfect lesson of what happens when your worldview is not correct.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you may have been paying attention, although it's really kind of getting lost in the static, Chuck, but seems that the terrorist attack, and yes, I'm going to call it a terrorist attack, not a spontaneous uprising of citizenry, on September the 11th in Libya, which cost the life of the U.S. ambassador and three other U.S. personnel, was actually a coordinated attack by Al-Qaeda operatives against the United States. Now, we've talked a little bit about this particular issue on our earlier programs, and you and I were talking offline that this is one where many people in the Obama administration, from the Undersecretary to the United Nations and all the way up to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, seems to have really, well, I guess I don't want to accuse, but they seem not to be holding on to a grasp of the obvious facts of this case.
Well, the fact is that they tried to sell us one story for a day or two, then they tried to sell us another story, then they tried to sell us another story, and now they're trying to sell us yet a fourth story. And the fact is that anybody who's still buying after all that selling, I know someone who sells some swampland.
Sure.
That you might be interested in.
For a great price, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
And you will have no EPA problems with it. Don't worry.
Indeed. It's getting so bad in the Obama administration over which story to believe that we even actually have a situation where two White House officials, one who is the White House press secretary, Jay Carney, and the other who is a senior advisor to the White House by the name of David Plouffe, are arguing back and forth against each other, contradicting each other on whether or not this was an actual terrorist attack. Now, you have to be very, very out of control in your administration and in your foreign policy and your intelligence to publicly have one of your advisors and one of your staffers out spinning two different versions of the same story.
And, well, what that shows is that there's basically foreign policy confusion at the top.
Absolutely.
It's beginning to look like there is a severe battle of how to sell this thing to the American public between the president and the Secretary of State. And that should surprise no one.
That should surprise no one because they had an interesting battle about 4 years ago called a Democratic primary.
And basically what Hillary said was, what's going to happen when the 3 a.m. phone call comes and the president of the United States is not prepared to deal with it and doesn't take the phone call?
I remember that television commercial, by the way. That was a pretty powerful commercial. It didn't help her enough. Obviously, she didn't win the nomination. But I think she's answered that question, Chuck, because the phone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning and Hillary Clinton didn't know what to do with that phone call as Secretary of State of the United States.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact is, something funky happened there because everybody knows, who knows anything about Islam, that they love to do things on anniversary dates.
Oh, absolutely. And no surprise, this one fell on September the 11th.
And all kinds of reports came out about how this was a demonstration going on outside. And then later, as the events began to trickle out, security officials came out and people who were there said, no, there was no demonstration. People converged
on the embassy.
From five different directions all at once, all armed.
With rocket-propelled grenades, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, semi-automatic weapons and automatics, and converged on it and began firing. And that's exactly what happened. And in fact, the ambassador was sent to Benghazi for a reason that nobody knows, because the main embassy is in Tripoli.
Right. Now, that raises some other interesting questions, which we're probably not going to delve into too deeply today.
Because I'll be quite honest, I can't really figure it out.
Well, this onion's really hard to peel the layers back on. But one of the things that we do know, and we can peel the layer back on and actually discard this petal of the onion, because it's rotten, is that this quote-unquote uprising, this spontaneous eruption of anti-American sentiment, as the White House and the Secretary of State were trying to paint it as, and the ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice, spun for days after it happened, was not, and I repeat, not incited by a cheap, poorly made slap at the Prophet Muhammad by an American filmmaker.
Well, now that meme's fallen apart, because now they're talking about the fact that the guy really was attempting to tell Muhammad's story in a sympathetic manner, having watched this, what started out as a video, and then it became an excerpt, and then it was a clip, and then it was a trailer. It's been everything, according to the White House. Having watched this thing,
we won't put you through it, listener.
That's it.
You don't have to go and look at the link.
If you really want to look at it, it's on YouTube. Look up The Innocence of Muslims. You can find it. We're not going to post it for you. There's no point in gilding the lily. The thing is awful. But it's interesting how that meme has changed. And in fact, when President Obama was in front of the UN the other day, he was still singing the song that this was over this movie. It had nothing to do with the movie. Everybody's admitting that now.
But it has everything to do with his four-year obsession with being apologetic to the Muslim world.
Exactly.
This has everything to do with that, and has everything to do with why our foreign policy is an absolute...
It's a train wreck.
A train wreck. Yeah, I can't think of any other thing to say, which has now cost the lives of over 2,000 American servicemen who are stuck in Afghanistan when they honestly shouldn't be there. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm showing some of my colors now, okay? I think we are in a bad way over there. And frankly, all we're doing with this administration is figuring out new ways to create issues so that they can be more apologetic to the Muslims. Okay, I've said it. My skirt's off.
Yeah.
My skirt's off on that one.
Yep.
Well, I don't believe that we are invested in anything over there except wasting American lives. And I'm really sorry about that. And I'm really sorry for the... appreciate the sacrifices of our servicemen and women. Appreciate the fact that when their commander-in-chief tells them to go, they must obey. But
yeah, it's not an attack on the service.
It's not an attack on the service. It's an attack on the head. It's an attack on the CIC. But Chuck, the point is that the head must be multi-headed Hydra. Because none of them know what they're doing, because, as I said, Jay Carney, who's the White House press spokesman, in other words, he's the official spinmeister for the White House.
That's right. He's supposed to put it out the way that the press will eat it.
And the way that the White House wants it spun in the media.
Yeah.
And that was the fact that it was self-evidently a terrorist attack upon the U.S. ambassador and upon the embassy. Well, senior White House presidential advisor David Plouffe, basically in a few days later, contradicted Carney's assessment and said, well, we can only categorize it as terrorism after the intelligence community has all these days worth of time to analyze it. Well, but the point is, supposedly this was the same intelligence community that was advising U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice when immediately after this all took place, she was out at the U.N. stating that this was a spontaneous uprising of people who were offended by the Innocence of Muslims movie.
And for instance, this is the kind of thing that's being spun at the UN. It's almost like they're attempting to spin one story nationally, or pardon me, but four stories nationally, and one story internationally. That's what it looks like to me, Barry, because when Jay Carney comes out on the 20th of September and says it's self-evident that this was a terrorist attack, pre-planned,
mm-hmm.
and then David Plouffe comes out on Meet the Press this last Sunday.
So 10 days later.
Yeah, which would have been, what, the 30th?
30th.
10 days later and says, well, we didn't know for sure until this big intelligence community report came out. Well, hooey. The president gets a working report on what's going into the report at his security briefings every day.
Every morning.
Shows up for him, a major problem for him during the period leading up to Benghazi because he wasn't attending his security briefings.
Well, that's another serious problem we have. Now, there are some bigger problems that we have here, Chuck, but we haven't even dealt into those yet. But I want to get to them because in an article that is broken on WorldNet Daily over the weekend, the headline by writer Aaron Klein says, this scandal could dwarf Fast and Furious, and then the punchline, did the White House arm Al-Qaeda operatives who killed the U.S. ambassador? Yes, Chuck, this is what we're talking about blowback. It is starting to look right now that there is some interest in the Obama administration and their policy of arming the groups who overthrew Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi earlier this summer, and that many of those groups were Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda-linked operatives.
Well, that's Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood has been hooked up with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups for decades, and the fact is that everybody was asking when the whole Egypt thing was going on, why are we palled up with the same group we're at war with in Iraq and Afghanistan? Because there isn't, as George Wallace used to say, there isn't a dime's worth of difference between the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda.
That's exactly right. Now, Chuck, this is something that it's an easy draw because the administration's admitted it already. During the whole situation with the revolution against Gaddafi, the White House and the administration admitted that they were directly arming these rebel groups. They were handing them things like rocket-propelled grenades and semi-automatic and automatic weapons. The same rocket-propelled grenade types and weapons that were used to assassinate U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens on September the 11th. Now, it's interesting because if that's the case, what we have is an administration who is arming the people who are attacking. Now, Chuck, I'm no great student of military strategy, but I don't think that's a sustainable position.
Well, I'm going to bring something up that maybe a lot of people have forgotten, but when Al-Qaeda got started, we gave them arms to fight the Russians in the 80s.
Yeah, well, and if anybody's ever watched, seen the movie Charlie Wilson's War, it's the entire history of how a Democratic congressman from Texas ended up funneling over $1 billion, a billion with a B, to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan to fight the Russians. Those same groups then morphed into what we know now as Al-Qaeda.
And the Taliban.
And the Taliban.
Yeah, so... Oh, what a tangled web we weave, Barry. This is the whole thing that Ron Paul was talking about when he talked about the 9/11 attacks being blowback. And you can get mad at me all you want, and you can say that I'm an isolationist, and you can make all these charges, and the fact is that the 9/11 Commission, that's all he was doing was quoting the 9/11 Commission, that this was revenge for a number of the things that had happened as a result of some of our activities in the Middle East and playing friend to this group and not to that group and to this, and then turning around and playing friend to that group and not this group.
So in other words, trying to be the world's policeman.
Trying to be the world's policeman. We're proving over and over and over again that we should not be isolationists. Let's get the facts straight. We are not calling for isolationism. Trade and diplomacy for all friendly nations.
That would make sense.
Yeah. And this thing about sending spies in and sending guns here and guns there and weapons here and weapons there, we need to stop that.
Well, the point is, I don't think we're going to learn from our mistakes, especially with this administration, because, well, history shows we haven't learned from too many of our mistakes when we deal in the Middle East. We keep funneling weapons and money to overthrow certain regimes, only to find those same people then being the ones who are attacking our service people, and then we have to go in later, like with Saddam Hussein and others, and try to overthrow their regimes after our intelligence community and our administration policy sets them up.
Well, I'm going to, again, bring a reminder to you about how we screwed up a country very badly, and then it came back to bite us later, and that is Iran.
Absolutely. We took out the Shah, who was secularist.
Well, first of all, we forced them to, they had thrown the Shah out.
Yes.
In the 1950s.
In the 1950s, we forced,
and we forced them to take him back.
Reza Pahlavi, we shoved him back on them. Then when he had to leave, we got him out and gave him exile. Or
then not only that, but we gave a hand up to probably one of the worst factions possible, and that was the group that was headed by the Ayatollah Khomeini, who we basically forced the Iranians to bring back out of exile. He was in exile in France, and look what it got us.
Didn't get us in a good way, that's
no,
sure.
And it basically saddled Iran, which was actually a very advanced country, which really just needed to be out from under the thumb of a despot to implement a true republican government. There actually were a very enlightened people. None of those people that were, when I say enlightened, they were people that were well-educated. They were very westernized, basically. They had a large Jewish and a large Christian and a large Muslim population. And that has, shall we say, diminished, although there are still a large number of Iranian Jews, believe it or not. But the fact is that we messed that up terribly. And Jimmy Carter basically had no clue what was going on there and how to handle it. And now we have a president who is echoing the exact same motions. We have a president who has no clue what's going on. He's kowtowing to radical Muslims, and he has no idea what he's doing.
Well, and his entire administration seemed to be spinning tails as fast as a weaver, and none of them can seem to land on where they want to go with this. Ladies and gentlemen, all we can say is, there's going to probably be a lot more radio on this that we can do
eventually, up
through and probably after the election in November. But this one could end up becoming a significant foreign policy gaffe by the Obama administration. And honestly, folks, this is what blowback looks like, is when you get your U.S. personnel killed by arming your enemies.
And this is it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.